Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. You are about to hear a message by one of our world partners, Rob Mituck. He is with Campus Crusade for Christ in New Jersey.
So, I got my relatives in here from Minnesota. Wonderful to have them. First time Scott's been to New Jersey. And so, yeah, we got, Yeah, we're going to New York. He's never been to New York either. You guys, New Jersey people are like, wow, we got some fun things we could show them, right? And so I tell them. First, yesterday, we stayed in New Jersey yesterday and just showed him around Rutgers campus, showed him our office, went and bought a t-shirt for his son, and went to the grease trucks. You guys ever been to the grease trucks? Made to the Food Network. You guys ever see that online? So it's been on cable. But then we brought him to, I told him, I was like, listen, Scott, if you come, I will bring you. Now, if the Sopranos existed, I would bring you to their restaurant. Any guesses what it is? Harold's. You guys ever been to Harold's? Yeah, the men are going, yeah, I've been to Harold's. Harold's, if you've not been there, this is it. And plus, they even have a picture of Tony there from The Sopranos sitting right there in the dining room. But it's like a corporate, what's that, family-style meal where when I go, I only order one thing. I order the hot pastrami on rye sandwich, and it's about that big, and it's like three people can eat it. And when you ask for it, a lot of times they'll say, do you want juicy or extra juicy? And you got to go for the extra juicy. Then on the other side of the restaurant is the rye bread and pickle bar. Oh, that's so good. Rye bread. So what I realized, though, last night, I'm having a good time showing them around New Jersey, and as we're walking into Harold's, I'm like, man, I'm speaking tomorrow morning. Oh, man, I got felt a little uncomfortable. You know what? I was at the point where after I was going into my second sandwich, you know, I was just like, man, I can't take it anymore. It's like, just one more pickle. You know, just ate the pickle, but I just didn't, it just wasn't myself. But you guys know that experience, right? Where a little bit uncomfortable, you don't know that experience? Maybe the Lord is calling you to do something or putting you through something upon you where you got a knot in your stomach and you're like, what, Lord, what do you got going on in my life? What, you know, I got to trust you with something else. Just a couple months ago, you guys know Revelation Generation? You guys ever hear of that? It's a big Christian fest down in Frenchtown. It's about 25,000. People bringing big Christian bands, and struck up a relationship with the family that runs that. And I go on that Friday night to, you know, it's around 3 o'clock, go to set up the table. They got us a free table, big ministry fair and whatnot. And set up my table, I'm sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, I think. And one of the people from Revelation Generation walks up to me. And they're like, okay, Rob, we have you, if it's okay with you, we have you up on stage tonight before Mercy Me. For 3 to 5 minutes, I was like, holy cow, you know, heart's beating a little bit, and it was fun. The Lord just gives exciting experiences when you're trusting him. Then a couple weeks ago, on the other end of it, I did a K through 8th grade chapel up in northern Jersey side, and that was the worst, that was harder than getting up before Mercy Me. It's like, got to make sure I don't say anything in a press. So I gave a real extended talk on euthanasia, and the kids were appalled, and not really. I didn't do that. I think I've always had a propensity, though, for taking risks and adrenaline, sort of an adrenaline junkie. You know, I grew up riding four-wheelers upstate New York, jumping them, breaking them. Me and my buddies used to go to this place in the Delaware Water Gap called Hackers Falls behind Milford. I don't know if you've ever seen it. You've seen it? Wow, nice. Hackers Falls, wonderful place. And it's a set of cliffs to jump off of into water. And so it's just a beautiful, almost a painting, like Bob Ross. You guys remember Bob Ross with the afro? I'd have an afro, actually, if I should let my hair grow out. I would look just like Bob Ross. Big afro, beautiful painting, and the trees were, you know, salamander green trees he painted there for us. And you walk into this Hackers Falls. It looks just like a painting. You got the three different cliffs, a 15-footer, a 45, and a 48-footer, where you jump into a pool of water, and there's a little river, little falls coming over the edge, and then you got the happy little pine trees overlooking the edge as you're going to go risk your life jumping off these cliffs. And now this is a picture for me of Romans 15:13. Let's put Romans 15:13 up there. And this might be against etiquette and protocol, but if I were on the college campus, I certainly would have a student read this. And so I'm going to call on a couple of my buddies. We're going to have them read it twice. Uh-oh, my buddies are getting nervous, Kevin. I was thinking, okay, Kevin, stand up for me and read it once. Luke, you're going to read it a second time for us because you got the bass voice and you're going to have to do the real manly bass voice. So everyone just listen to this verse. Go ahead, Kevin.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace
Luke, your turn. Go ahead, Glenn. Yes. And memory, by memory, turn around.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Good. Thank you. The very first thing, I just want you all to feel this with me, that I want you to recognize from this verse, if you don't hear anything else from me, is that it's in papyrus font. And we all come on, Chad, laugh with me. We all ought to read the Bible in papyrus font. And there should be a version of it, the papyrus version of the Bible. No, this is what I want us to hear from this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a lot like cliff jumping. It's a lot like cliff jumping. This is what happens when you go to this little Bob Ross painting back in Hacker's Falls. So you go up to this 15-foot cliff, and you climb up there, and you're standing there overlooking this cliff. Picture yourself, and your buddies are down there in the water, and they're screaming, yeah, jump, jump. And you're standing at the edge of this cliff, and all of a sudden, that's good. There you go. We got sound effects. Ready? Your heart starts beating. Like, what in the world am I doing up here? Your blood and your adrenaline starts flowing, and you're standing at the other cliff. Your friends are yelling. You're like, man, I got to jump off. What did I get myself into? But you back up, and you look at this cliff, and you take a couple steps, and you slide to the edge, and you're like, oh, man, your friends are yelling. You're like, I can't look like a fool here. And then you finally, and you go, and you run, and you jump, and you're flying through the air and splash into the water. You just have an amazing experience. And so you climb up again the next time, and you're like, you get up on that 15-footer, and you start getting filled up with some hope. You get filled up with some trust. You're like, wow, I did this once before. And so now you're up there again, and your heart's beating. Your adrenaline's going. But it's not quite as hard this time. This time you don't stutter step. You go and you jump, and you fly through the air, and you splash into the water. This time you make the mistake, though, of looking down as you do it. And you don't want to do that. That just brings home some souvenirs to show your mom and dad later on. But you do this a few times. You're jumping off this 15-footer. And now you're like, this isn't that big of a deal, right? You're filled with hope. You're trusting God in life with the different cliffs that he puts your way. I've seen this in my life as well, where he gave me the first cliff of trusting him that he was sufficient to pay for my sins, right? That's the first cliff in a relationship with God. Trusting him that he could die on the cross and pay for your sins, something that you can't do on your own. So what do you do? After you jumped off that 15-footer, what do you do next? The 45-footer. Like, wow, okay, I'm getting good at this. I know how to jump. So let me get up to this 45-footer. The faint of heart takes the little bunny trail around the back, and they climb up. The real tough guys, they claw their way up to the 45-footer. And now the same experience. It almost seems like it's the exact same experience. Now your heart's beating really hard again. Your adrenaline's going. Your friends are screaming. What did I get myself into? But you know what? This one was actually the runway, because on this one, you had to run and jump over some trees so you couldn't hesitate. And so, but the same experience happens. And you finally jump and you're flying through the air, psh, splash into the water, amazing time. And you do that a few more times, right? And then all of a sudden, you're getting filled with hope. You're like, wow, I could jump off a 45-foot cliff. And you go up to the 48 one. That was easy. That was just like a drop. You just stepped off and went down. Nah, nothing, right? But let me tell you about my last cliff, the largest one, it's a good Christian word. My Ebenezer. Is that good? Is that proper? Okay, we'll call it my Ebenezer. So it was a 70-foot cliff that I jumped off of. And so this was down on the Delaware River. And this was a pretty comical scenario. I was a lot younger then. I don't think I'd do this anymore. But we're tubing down, me and my buddies, and I'd never been to this cliff before. And then we come up, and I know it's kind of in this area. And I see some people jumping off the little guy cliffs, you know, the 15-footers. And I get out of my tube, and I'm like, say to one of the little local guys, I'm like, is there a 70-foot cliff around here? He goes, you're going to jump off the 70-footer? Hey, Jimmy, Billy, this guy's going to jump off the 70-footer. And so now it's like I'm in the, you know, Alice in Wonderland, you know, off to see the wizard, well, that's not Alice, is it? Wizard of Oz, off to see hey, come here, grumpy, sleepy, dopey, come on, let's go, let's follow this guy. That's Snow White. I'm all mixed up. Come on, Frodo, Samwise. So I got all these little guys following me up the hill. And, you know, now I'm a pro at this. I jumped off of some. I know the pencil technique. I know how not to hit the water too hard. And it's a 70-foot, but you got to jump over a little 50-footer for the little guys. And, you know, you jump off this 70-footer. And so I go back, same deal, pumping. I jump, flying through the air, amazing experience, pencil, perfect form. boom, down into the water. All of a sudden, I realized that I'm 30 feet under the water, and I hadn't taken a breath since I jumped. Oh my gosh, I'm swimming up, come up out of the water like a mermaid, like a whale breaching the ocean. And the reason I tell you this, because it was awesome and everyone has to see it. It's like hitting a hole in one. Doesn't count unless people see it. There's people going down the river and they're in their own tubes and they're looking at me and they were forced to react. And they're like, they weren't impressed, but I was young and it's a catharsis. I was glad they at least saw me and swam back up. We'll get to this later. But the deal is with trust in God is that people are watching you. People are watching you trust God. So listen, cliffs come in all different shapes and sizes, depending on what you're thinking through right now. Maybe you need to write down what it is that you need to be trusting God with. What's the next cliff that God's calling you to? Maybe it's something that's been thrust upon you. Maybe it's someone sick in your family. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you need to move. Maybe it's something God's calling you to actually do actively. Maybe he's calling you to be involved in some ministry in the church. Maybe he's calling you to talk to somebody in your family. Maybe, just maybe, there's a few people in your life that you ought to hand this to and invite them out to church. Imagine the problems we'd cause the pastors if all of us invited a few people out to church. Pastor Pendel would have to speak like four times. That'd be an awesome problem to have. Let's do it to him. Give him a little Christmas present. So maybe there's a few cliffs that you need to write down. We're going to take a look, though, at a few different people in the scriptures, familiar stories, and their encounters with trust in God. Their cliffs, the faith that it takes. We're going to first take a look at Peter. I think we've got a verse up there. No, that's all right. We don't need to talk about this verse just yet. You could keep it up. So we have Peter. You remember the story of Peter walking on water? Jesus walking on water? Matthew 14. Anyone remember the story that happened before this one? What just happened before he walked on water? Anyone remember? The 5,000 were fed. Okay? So there was this amazing experience they had. The 5,000 were fed. Jesus went off to pray. Sends the men out in the boat. You remember the wind was blowing. And the boat wasn't getting anywhere. And so Jesus came walking to him on the water. And what did they first think that he was? A ghost, right? And he says, I'm not a ghost. Don't fear. And then what does Peter do? Peter says, all right, listen, Jesus, I'll jump off this cliff. I'll get out of the boat if you tell me to. I'll walk on water as well. Remember that? So let me read it to you. He says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. We kind of have a water theme going tonight, this morning. Gets out of the boat. Jesus, call me to jump off this cliff, and I'll do it. Remember what happens? Peter gets out of the boat. He starts walking on the water, right? And then the wind and the waves start coming, and he starts getting a little scared, right? And he starts sinking. Remember that? And he says, Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus comes walking on water over here, puts his arm around him, pulls him up out of the water, and he says, good job, Peter. You took 3 steps on the water. Those disciples, they didn't get out of the boat. At least you got out of the boat. Don't you wish he said that? If you guys aren't familiar, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say that. That would have been awesome if he did, but he didn't. A lot of Pastor Chad was ready to tackle me off the stage, get the big pull me off for being a heretic. But he didn't say that. I wish he did. Jesus, what did Jesus say instead? Ye of little faith. Listen, if Pastor Chad said, okay, everybody, we got the show right here. We're going to fill up the baptismal font, right? Pool. Baptismal pool. And Pastor Chad says, by faith, I'm going to walk, take 3 steps on this water. And let's say he does it, but he only makes 2. And then he sinks. We're still going to applaud him. We're going to be like, you walked on water, Pastor Chad. Awesome. Good job. But he doesn't. Jesus doesn't do that. It makes me think that maybe our economy of faith, how we view faith and relationship with God, is maybe a little bit skewed. That Jesus rebuked Peter for walking on water. It's important for you all to go after that next cliff. Extremely important. Let me tell you another story. When I first understood that how faith went from my head into my heart. And it's one of those stories. I like to tell stories sometimes that I don't often tell, but not because it's embarrassing. Well, this is kind of embarrassing for Pastor Chad. It's the first time I met Pastor Chad. But I don't tell it too often just because it's not a true story. So it's a fake story. So let me tell you all a fake story about Pastor Chad. Who's been to Niagara Falls? A few people have been to Niagara Falls? Okay, we got a cliff and water theme going on this morning, so we're going to stay with that. So we're at Niagara Falls. You could picture Niagara Falls, this big water coming over, and I learned a lot about God from waterfalls, I suppose. And so I'm standing at this Niagara Falls, all right, and I'm watching. And if you've ever been there, it takes about a half an hour, and then you're ready to go. But you got to be on the Canadian side, and you're standing there. You're like, hey, take a few pictures, neat, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, I look over, and I'm like, is that a dude walking on a tightrope? Yeah, there's a guy out there on a tightrope walking across Niagara Falls. And I'm walking closer, and I don't recognize the guy. It's Pastor Chad. Pastor Chad is on this tightrope, and it's awesome. He's got his Superman outfit on. He's got his tights and his boots, and he's got a pink cape. Since I'm making up a story, might as well be a good one. So he's got his pink cape flying in the wind, and there's this music coming from someplace, circus music. It's going, din, 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 din. That was almost more miraculous than him on that thing. I didn't know where the music was coming from. Din, 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 din. And he's out there having a good time, and now there's a big crowd gathering around. And I'm standing there. I happen to be right at the end of the tightrope. And Pastor Chad walks out to me. He goes, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Rob. Oh, what's your name? Chad. Oh, nice to meet you. I was like, that was pretty impressive. He's like, oh, thanks. I really, really have a good time doing this. And he's like, hey, let me ask you a question. How much do you weigh, Rob? About 180, 185. He's like, okay, wait. I got a bag here. He takes a whole bunch of Canadian Niagara Falls sand, and he puts it on his back. And he says, you think I could walk across this tightrope again with 185 pounds of sand on my back? I was like, I don't, but I'm assuming you're going to try. And so he goes, yes, I'm going to try. And so he goes back, and then all of a sudden, the circus music starts again. Takes one step, din, 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 and he's out there, and he's having a good time. He starts singing, okay? He's singing like Pastor Chad, singing the chorus. And he, din, 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 and now he comes back to me, and I'm like, man, that was great, Chad. That was amazing, 185 pounds on your back. And he goes, you think I could do it one more time? It's like, yeah, I just saw you do it. He goes, okay, if you think so, let me take the sand off my back and you jump on and I'll carry you. That's faith. That's what Jesus is saying to us. I think we, potentially in the American, even in the Baptist church per se, we're very good at knowledge. Just from my interactions with churches, we are very good at knowing our Bibles. And I think we might have the propensity to not take that little foot and a half very seriously. Jesus is calling you to that next cliff. He's calling you to jump on his back. Very important, faith. Let's look at another example. We're going to look at David. And I'm going to pause and I'm going to take a little drink from my youth bottle of water. Downstairs, I had a choice between this or a little juicy sip box. And I thought this was more professional, although I really wanted that sip box. But I didn't do it. Let's think about David for a second. King David. You guys remember King David, right? King of Zion, king of Jerusalem. Man after God's own heart, slayed Goliath. Remember all that? Great fighter. Killed his 10,000s while Saul killed his thousands. Remember that? Great example, biblically speaking. What was his biggest failure? Did I hear it whispered? Bathsheba's the first one that comes to our mind, right? You guys remember the story of Bathsheba? So David, when he should have been out to war, he was up on top of his palace overlooking, and he sees Bathsheba. No. Back that up for me just for a second. He sees Bathsheba, and she's bathing. And he calls her over, and he commits adultery with her. Remember that? And she conceives. And then what does he do? Kills Uriah, right? His fighter, one of his mighty men, he sends to the front of the line. He has him killed. Then who was the prophet who came and convicted him of it, rebuked him? You guys remember? Nathan. Nathan comes and convicts him. And then David, in his good fashion, shows his heart, and he's extremely sorrowful about it. But what was the result? What did God say through Nathan was the result of him committing adultery and killing Uriah? What happened? The son died. The baby died. Bathsheba's son, first son, died through David. Maybe that wasn't his biggest failure. You guys had a little bit of a look at what was coming up next. Maybe Bathsheba wasn't his biggest failure. Maybe it was when he ended his warring career. Did you guys catch it? What it was? How he ended his warring career? This is basically a prelude to building of the temple. He ends it by taking a census. You remember that? So he takes a census. And even his general, remember his general Joab? You remember that name? Joab actually isn't even known for being a good guy. He's actually kind of a mean guy. And he even knew what David was doing was evil. What was so evil about that? What was so evil? We have that verse up there. David was conscience stricken after he had counted the fighting men. And he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, O Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. Doesn't our army count how many men they send or how many men we have in the military? Sure they do. Man, what was the big deal here? You know what the big deal was? Previously, he would purely rely on God to tell him whether he should fight or not. And God would win his battles. Now he has a thread of misplaced trust going through his heart, where instead of relying on God and trusting in God, he starts trusting in his own armies. Doesn't seem like a big deal, does it? Doesn't seem like a big deal to me. He had a little misplaced trust. I do that all the time. Every day, don't we do that? Do you guys remember what the prophet Gad this time, what three options he gave him? He gave him, first option was, he could have 3 years of famine. He could have 3 months of being pursued by his enemies. Or he could have 3 days of plague. What did he choose? Chose the plague, right? 3 days of plague he chose. He put himself before God. And that was a result of him counting his military, having some misplaced trust going through his heart. This is what results. Put up the next slide. So the Lord sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the end of the time designated, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. 70,000. Rutgers, New Brunswick is 35,000. Double the amount of students that go to Rutgers, New Brunswick. That's what resulted from misplaced trust. He commits adultery and kills a friend of his. And how many died? One. He has misplaced trust and trusts in his own resources over God. And how many died? 70,000. Listen, I think perhaps in our Christian culture, we'll tell a person, or we'll just kind of subjectively understand by hanging around in Christianity long enough, we'll subjectively begin to think that as long as I don't commit adultery and kill anybody, I'm okay. Just don't sleep around. Don't do that. I'm not saying this is good. It's bad. It's evil. Don't do that. But we're like, as long as you don't do these things, but man, if you don't really walk by faith, if you don't trust God with anything, no big deal. Just don't kill anybody. Pastor Chad, don't do that. Walking by faith, man, I really believe. We live in a pretty easygoing country when it comes to being Christians. Would we have the faith if we lived in the Sudan to take a knife for our faith? Would we? If that came to our doors, would we have the faith to be ready for it? Would we have the faith to really walk and jump off that cliff? Walking by faith is important. And you know what? People are watching you. Let me tell you a story of how people watch you jump off a cliff, just like that 70-footer, and people are forced to react to how you do when you jump off a cliff. You know, just recently, my wife and I, we felt like the Lord was calling us to buy a new house, sell our house and move to the north side of town. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's, you know, not a humongous cliff in life, but it's significant enough. you know, it seemed like a good idea, and I like to get my hands dirty, and I've done a lot of work on my own house already. I was an engineer, and my dad's a woodshop teacher, and it brings me a lot of life to have a house to work into, and it was a fixer-upper, and yada, yada. It was a good place for my son, who has special needs. It has a lot of stairs that he has to learn to walk up. And so we're like, okay, Lord, we'll trust you with this. And we get a real estate agent, and he's basically an agnostic Jewish guy. And this is part of the reason why I wanted to take this agent, because he also has a son with special needs, and we wanted to have a relationship with this family. And so I wasn't thinking this was going to happen, but he started to see how we reacted to this cliff in life. And he got to be experienced in our life. He knew exactly what I do for a living right off the bat, this and this and that. First of all, we put a bid on this house on the north side of town, and it was a really low ball bid. Plus, it had a contingency that we had to sell our own house. And he's like, you're never going to get that. They're not going to take it, because another bid even came in the same day without a contingency, just a little bit less. And we ended up getting it. And he was like, wait a second. You know, I could see it in his eyes. I was getting to know this guy, and he knew what I did. And whenever we would talk, like he would say, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. That's how we started. You know, like, you do and do your prayer thing. I'll keep my fingers crossed. Try to connect with you there. Okay, so that's how it starts off. And so he takes note there. Says, okay, yeah, well, immediately we got to get our own house on the market and start trying to sell it, this and this and that. And after about a week, we have a bid come in on the house. And I'm interacting over. It's a little bit lower than we wanted. I'm talking to him about it. So go talk to him again about it. And then he calls me back 5 minutes later. And this is how he starts the conversation. He goes, Rob, I guess all I can say is hallelujah. A second bid came in on our house the same day. And we end up getting $1,000 more for this bid than we even had it on the market for. And so he's seeing this. He's starting to experience God's power and seeing God catching us on this cliff that we're jumping off of. All right, and so it doesn't all go up from there. Actually, a couple weeks later, the people back out on our house, that we're going to buy our house. And I've been getting to know this guy well enough that I call him up and I tell him. And Tammy had coached me on walking with the Lord through this because I was frustrated too. But I tell him, and the funny thing is he just starts swearing over the phone. Like, he and I were, it's good, because he and I have been bonding as friends, and we're all going to hang out afterwards and this and that. But then 2 days later, he calls me back up again. And all along on the house we're buying, we've been dealing with an oil tank that's underground. All right, and so we've been pulling the oil, but it looked like there wasn't going to be any problem. And he calls me up and he goes, Rob, you know this, but it said God works in mysterious ways. That's what he says to me over the phone. And I'm like, wow. And he says, well, it turns out the oil tank was leaking. And if you had sold your house this month, you could have been out of having a place to live with your kids for like 2 months until this deal. And so he got to see God working through that, got to see our reactions. So people are watching you jump off these cliffs. People watch and take note of God's power in your life. It's important to get out of the boat. It's important to recognize how that faith is an integral part of our relationship with Christ. Listen, are you guys even thinking about that God might have a 70-foot cliff right around the corner for you guys to jump out off of? Would you recognize it if he called you to do something significant, to do something a little crazy, to do something a little uncomfortable? Are we ready for that? Imagine if we had a church full of cliff jumpers. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? Let me pray for us. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for this day. Man, I thank you that you kept me awake up here on the stage. It's so hot in here, Lord. But just that we could dive into your word and think about our relationship with you. And I thank you that you're exciting and you give us things. If we keep our eyes open, you just give us experiences and stories to tell. And I look forward to eternity when we could be sitting around and just telling story upon story how you showed up and how you caught us jumping off those cliffs. So fun, Lord. We just thank you that this isn't just some dead philosophy, that this is a personal relationship with you that's living and active and exciting. Bless us today. This week, I pray that you'd put on our minds some cliffs that we need to follow you off of, some people that we need to bring your good news to. Amen.